I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Scott Harrison. He's the founder of Ironweed Productions, and he's the director of the new production of Our Town, a play by Thornton Wilder. Welcome back, Scott.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
And we have actors Mary Beth Lindsay and Matt Pewitt with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So this is a play written really during the Depression, is that right?
Yeah, the first time it was performed was 1938.
And it's a play that does what most, it sort of functions differently from most plays in that it doesn't have the kind of dramatic arc that we expect. It's more like a bunch of slices of life.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work dramatically?
Well, I mean, there is a sort of a, in a sense, there's an arc in that we take a couple, Matt and Mary Beth play George and Emily, through their life when they're young kids growing up together, when they get married, and then what happens afterwards. So, I mean, that kind of provides a framework or an underlying story for the play, and then we follow the rest of the town kind of through these two characters' journey together.
It's the story of a town and, in turn, kind of the story of America at a certain point, and there's kind of the metaphor of a time capsule, mm-hmm. and the play acts that way. Does it to you?
Yeah, but it's interesting because a lot of people talk about it and they say, oh, you know, that, isn't that kind of a dated play? And, I feel like it holds up. It's just as potent now as it was back then, just with that sense of how important connections are in our lives and people and how easy it is to, you know, to forget and overlook those things.
I guess what I was wondering is it kind of invites reflection on what are our towns like now as opposed to mm-hmm. how they were then, if this is indeed an accurate portrayal of mm-hmm. a town. Maybe it's romanticized, maybe it isn't, hard to say. Tell us about your characters. I mean, we follow the two of you, George and Emily are the names of the characters, through your lives, through a kind of teenagehood and through life and death, life, marriage, death.
Yeah. and they start out as neighbors. That's how they meet. George Gibbs and Emily Webb, the Gibbs family and the Webb family, they're living right next door. And when they get a little bit to the age where they're starting to see that they may have feelings for one another, that's kind of when they start to talk even more to each other, George and Emily. And Emily even has that scene with her mom when she's asking, you know, am I pretty, mom? Am I pretty enough to get anyone interested in me? Because she's wondering about George. And so she's finally feeling those feelings of, you know, adolescence and being attracted to the opposite sex for her.
The neighbor who's been there forever.
Forever.
Didn't look that good last year.
Yeah. But all of a sudden turned 16 and something happens.
That thing called puberty hits. Yeah. Suddenly, whoa, who's that? definitely. It's, and it does focus on, like, sort of the microcosm of, like, American life. Like, it's not about a town where two people run into each other and fall in love. It's about neighbors that have always known each other and then discover there's something else, like another layer is added on. And they're going to school together in this very small town, so they know each other very well, the families very well, all the friends very well. And there's even a line in the play, like, we like to know the facts about everybody in our town, so nothing's left unsaid. And for the arc of George and Emily, there's references back to when they were kids, when George, like, makes attempts to give her something, like, you know, a gift of appeasement or a gift of love. But at a very young age, when you don't know why you're doing it. It's yeah, and you at the end of the play, you notice, like, just how special their partnership is and how it started out very sparse, but how it just ends up, like, it's one of those things that once every 1,000 years, like, something so important and special happens with two people.
And there's also the ongoing theme of that specialness being really underlined by mortality.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, well, the mortality aspect brings into thought how you have to really cherish every single moment you have with anybody, like especially the person who means the most to you in the world, which is very apparent. That's what it is for these two in the play. Like, there's nothing more important to these two, and you know, every single moment really counts, and that comes up a lot, actually.
And there's characters of, what are they? Would you call them ghosts?
Oh, and well, yeah, people that have passed on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. I mean, it's interesting because it's a real. I just think it's a very kind of realistic, and in some ways, very. It's a very, yeah, realistic view of life and death, and it's. It's just ironic to me that a lot of times this gets viewed as kind of a sweet little, homely story, and it's.
Norman Rockwell and
Peter. Yeah, but it's actually really. I mean, it goes to some dark places.
Yeah.
No, it definitely has that as well. I mean, it definitely has that just inherent goodness that people have and kindness. So it's a real interesting mix.
And then there's a question of, what do you do with your dreams? You have a dream of going somewhere, and. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to mention that a second ago when you were asking about George and Emily, because Emily, for this time, she really has these dreams that most women at that time weren't expected to, you know, want to go make speeches all their life.
And this is 100 years ago.
Yeah,
more or less.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not, you know, she does end up, the love comes in and it does make that dream kind of, she does put it aside for love on that, but you know, she does have big dreams for a girl that, and during that time 100 years ago, that you wouldn't expect for her to be having.
I'm still waiting for the play in which the boy says, I gave up all my ambitions for love.
Right. Me too. I know.
So why did you choose this play, Scott? We always have a little laugh together
right.
Every year because you usually
the dark dysfunctional
have highly dysfunctional American lowlifes.
Well, actually, I mean it's I mean I've always loved this play and but in terms of how the seed of like doing it came about, it's kind of a interesting story. I was at work last year after, well, it was while we were doing American Buffalo, and we had, you know, just tons of props, and I was having to, buy different things and run around and get all these, you know, just tons of props on the set, and I jokingly said to my boss, next year I'm doing Our Town, because it has no props, and that's what I'm doing. And one of my coworkers overheard it, and at this time I was trying to think of what we were going to do for this coming year. And she didn't realize that I was kidding, and so she came up to my desk later and she said, "You know, I saw that play a long time ago, but I'm really going to look forward to seeing it when you do it because I'm older now, and you know, I think it." And when she said that, I was like, "Huh." So it, and then
that's funny how things happen.
Yeah, and then you just kind of see, like, wow, that seems like that could. And we were, you know, wanted to do something this year at the Playhouse, and then it just kind of all, it's like, yeah, that seems like the right play to do.
And the minimalism is, I guess, built into it from the first time it was performed. Is that right? I mean, there's virtually nothing in terms of sets and almost nothing in terms of props.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at the time when he did it, I mean, it was really revolutionary. I mean, it was plays at that time were very realistic sets and costumes and props. And I mean, I think he was really highlighting that idea that it's really the people that are important and the connections they have and all that other stuff. Doesn't matter.
Now, the character who introduces us, played by Tone Forrest, is what is his character called? Stage manager.
The stage manager, yeah.
And he does something which is kind of progressive for a play of that era, which is kind of breaks down the false. What's it called?
The fourth wall
between the stage and the audience. He's actually addressing the audience
right.
The way. 40, 50 years later, performance artists were doing all the time.
Right.
What is gained by that vehicle?
Well, I think, I mean, it was interesting because I think Thornton Wilder was kind of started what, you know, later taken on by Brecht and Tony Kushner, that idea that we're in a theater and we're not denying that we're actors telling a story, which I think is another just really fascinating dynamic to explore in the story. And I think it really, it forces the audience to engage and be part of the story rather than just to sit back and, oh, these are people that are different from me.
We're talking about the play Our Town, which opens tonight and which is playing for the next few weekends. And this is a play that had instant critical acclaim. It won the Pulitzer Prize, and then I guess maybe it was performed for a while and had a movie. Then it kind of fell out of production and then had a big revival in, what, the 70s or 80s?
Yeah, I know. I mean, there have been several revivals of it. Spalding Gray did the stage manager. They were in a revival.
That would have been a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, I heard it was an amazing production. Paul Newman did one. There's also currently, there, maybe it just closed, what's her name from?
Helen Hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Plays the stage manager, and the audience is sitting on stage.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's. I mean, I think there's a, I don't know if this is legend or true, but it's said that somewhere in America or in the world, Our Town's getting performed every night of the year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So it's that popular. Yeah. And I guess it's something also, it's a big ensemble thing, so if you're doing a high school production, everybody gets to be in
exactly.
it, that kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody gets a part.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's it like working with this big ensemble and directing this big ensemble?
Oh, it's been, for me, just an incredible experience. There are so many people that are in this production that are, you know, very apt actors, have had a very nice history in acting. I was reading the bios last night of the program, and it was just like, wow, I have a bio with all these people. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm acting alongside some, because we have, you know, a few generations in this cast. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting with our 15-year-old actors up into our elderly actors and getting the experience through all of them. And everybody's very respectful. And
so you're recreating a small town.
Basically.
Literally.
That's so interesting.
We're taking from Santa Fe, which is not the biggest town, but we're taking...
But I think it's a very nice town.
But it is a very nice town.
And it's ours.
Day wouldn't come when I wouldn't want to know everything. And also, it's like you're taking from a just smaller than medium-sized town, but you're taking this group of people who care about the town so much. And that's what I've gotten to know. Like, when you... this group of 25 actors, 24 to 25 actors, and you talk to them about where they're from, their experience in Santa Fe, how some of them even came to Santa Fe, and they all have these really amazing stories about how they came to this town and what they love about this town. And then you see, then you start, we started rehearsals, and then that just came alive because everyone was so invested in these connections in this small town, and it was beautiful to watch happen. And now, as we got to witness last night with our first like preview in front of a small audience, it felt like it was received so well because all of these people just did this amazing job last night. I was taken aback. I mean, you know, I've been doing this every day for a month now, but just getting to watch it happen last night, and you know, the audience always brings in a different element to it, and just getting to watch it just blew me away. It was absolutely amazing.
And the process of directing that many people, I mean, do you feel like you're herding cats?
Well, not with this group of people, because it's a great, I mean, it's like a, I mean, with this group, it's just been a real, I mean, pleasure. I mean, everyone is incredibly creative and dedicated and professional. And I mean, I just really feel blessed with the group that we have. It's just a real, and it's just people we all like each other, and we're just good people. And that's a real treat. I mean, for me, it has been a good challenge to work. I haven't worked with this size cast before, so it's been a good challenge.
No, because usually these are little ensembles of four people or six people that you're working with that are in tremendous tension with one another for 98% of the play.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've tried to branch out in many different ways in terms of the characters. It's been a really, really good challenge.
The production is Our Town, Scott Harrison is founder of Ironweed Productions and the director of this play, and Mary Beth Lindsay and Matt Pewitt are actors in the play along with many, many others. And tonight is the big opening gala. It's at 7 o'clock, and the curtain is at 8 o'clock at Santa Fe Playhouse, and then it goes on through the 15th of April, Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 in the evening, and Sundays at 2 in the afternoon. And there are discounts on Thursdays and lots of good things. For more information, you can call, and for tickets, you can call 505-988-4262. You can go to santafeplayhouse.org. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR. And I'd like now to welcome Mary Kershaw. She's the director of the New Mexico Museum of Art. Welcome.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Good morning.
So it is really officially spring, and the museum has a program called Spring Forward. What's that all about?
Well, Spring Forward is a marker about the change the museum is making and the new direction that we're taking. And what we've done is the old 1917 building that is the historic part of the museum, every single one of those galleries has completely changed out in the past 2 months. So it's a completely fresh new look in the museum.
When you say changed out, what do you mean?
It means we've taken down the old displays. So the perennial favorite, How the West is Won, which had been up for 5 years, has now come down.
And if you didn't see it, it's your own darn fault.
If you didn't see it, there is a publication.
Ah, okay. And so now you've got all sorts of new things going on. Now, one of the things, you and I were talking a few weeks ago, and you said the museum has some sort of undeserved, but nevertheless, reputations that you have had to contend with since you've become director.
Indeed. In the last 2 years, I've been here now 2 years, and I spent the first part of that time listening to people and then talking about some ideas that I had. But some of the perceptions that came forward really strongly were that the museum never changes. And actually it has changed, but the perception was it never changed. And the other perception is it's not a place for artists. And those are two of the perceptions that I really wanted to shake up with this move towards Spring Forward.
Living artists.
Living artists.
And that's not really true either, is it?
No, it's not true. But I think what might have contributed to that is for the past 10 years or so, there had been this policy of not hosting one-person shows at the museum.
Uh-huh.
And I think that sort of contributed to what, in effect, became an alienation of artists from the museum.
So they think this isn't a place for us, and even though it's the Mexico Museum of Arts and it's taxpayer-funded or partly taxpayer-funded, whatever. So what are you actually doing? Tell us about some of the programs that presumably involve, well, that do involve local living artists or New Mexico living artists.
Well, there's four new exhibits opening that have opened as part of Spring Forward. And my mantra as a museum person has always been collection-centered, audience-focused. So three of those shows are collection-based shows, and one of them is really making a strong statement about our commitment to living, working artists. And those are the alcove shows. Those who know the museum of old will be familiar with alcove shows because it harks back to the start of the museum when individual artists who were working here were able to show in the museum in an open way. There was no jury, they just could show there. So we're not able to do that exactly, but we're harking back to our roots.
So they would just show up with their paintings and say, we're going to put them up this week.
My understanding, and someone who knows the history of Santa Fe better than I might be able to clarify this, but my understanding is that there was a sort of system where artists put their names down, and when they got to the top of the list, they got a little show. And it was always work that they were doing then, you know, so it was very contemporary.
Go ahead.
With the alcove shows, what we've done is we've got five artists who are showing, each have an individual space, in the area where How the West is Won used to be. And they're showing for 5 weeks. Then we're having a change out. There's going to be another five artists for 5 weeks and another change out. And we're doing that for a year.
That is so cool. Tell us about a couple of the artists who are there now.
Well, the five artists that we have to kick off, I think we couldn't have asked for a better group. So we've got Linda Swanson from the Santa Fe University, who's done these gorgeous drawings, very delicate and beautiful and personal drawings. We've got Ted Larson, who's done these wonderful reductive sculptures, and he's a real popular artist in Santa Fe, so his crowd has really responded well to that. Julia Borello has come up from Las Cruces, and she's done a site-specific installation for us, so she has created a piece of work to go into that space. And she works with MRI film and makes the most beautiful sort of floral sculptures, and just really that's not doing it justice. You really do have to see it.
Yeah.
Jane Lackey does these wonderful sort of pieces based on routes and circuits that people follow, and it's sort of a little bit almost computerized when you look at it from a distance, and then you see it close up, and it's beautifully delicate work. And our final artist of the group is David Furlano, who is part of the internationally renowned Ford Furlano Jewelry Making Partnership, but has been pretty sort of below the radar, I think, in Santa Fe for a while. And he also does painting. So we're showing some of the partnership-made jewelry and some of David's paintings and his sketches.
So lots of amazing things going on at the New Mexico Museum of Art. And unlike shows where you can go anytime for 5 years, these you got to actually be on the ball, because next thing you know, there's going to be a new one.
That's right. That's right.
So the one that's there now will be there until...
Ooh, now you're testing me. Another 3 weeks.
Another 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Mary Kershaw is the director of the New Mexico Museum of Art. Thank you so much for coming in so early this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you again soon. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. You're back.
I'm back. Good morning.
Good morning. Speaking of the arts with Rob DeWalt, who is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, where have you been?
I took some time off. You know, we'll call it a medical leave. You know, I've been dealing with a seizure disorder for about 13 years, and things got a little testy there for me for a little bit, and started some new medication, and it affected my voice and my equilibrium, so I couldn't talk very well, and I couldn't walk, really. So.
And now you're sort of equalized. What do you call it? Getting used to it?
I'm on different medications. So.
Ah.
It's like any medication that you take, it certain things affect certain people a certain way.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, I had to take a step back and really focus on getting well while continuing to work, and I just didn't have the time or the ability to be here.
Well, we're very glad to have you
and
back.
And I wanted to actually thank you for helping me promote Purple Day, which was the 26th of March, which was a Global Day of Epilepsy Awareness.
And okay.
There were a lot of people around town wearing purple.
Right.
And my mother actually related to me a story about someone who was wearing purple and that day and had heard your show. So thank you very much for
well,
that.
Our pleasure, and very important to bring attention to these things, which, I mean, there are so many invisible disabilities that people are walking around with.
Yeah, invisible disabilities and invisible discriminations.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. You'll hear a lot more about that from me in the months to come. Probably not here. Probably not the right venue for it, but I'm going to start really focusing on epilepsy awareness in northern New Mexico, because there seems to be a major lack of it.
Excellent. Well, we'll do a show, or we'll get someone to do a show
yeah.
about it if you want.
I'll grab some people. We're going to go and try and meet the governor and do a few weeks and talk, and I'll come back.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So what's happening in the arts and art-related things?
Well, it's all about music. For some reason, that and some really incredible art on the cover of Pasatiempo today is some great work that is going to be shown. Where is it? Oh, Graham Johnson's work is going to be shown at 333. Where is it?
No,
oh,
this
three,
is
333.
It's way
Montezuma
more than Graham
Annex.
Johnson. This is the whole. That's the whole. The arts of the art of nanoscience.
Yeah, it's the art of nanoscience. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And people could really geek out on it. I especially geek out on it because one of the things that they focus on is you know creating these images of neurons being fired in your brain, and since mine don't tend to fire correctly sometimes, I find the whole thing very fascinating. But there is a show, and I believe it's Friday, Saturday, March 30th and 31st.
Today and tomorrow.
Yeah, at the 333 Montezuna Annex. And that's over there. Where did we decide it is?
It's where the Beat Goes On.
The Beat Goes On.
Is a store in that same complex. It's on the other end of the complex.
Same business complex, yeah. So that's going
to
be a really
cool show.
But
if you go to Montezuma Avenue, you will find it. Near Guadalupe, I guess.
Absolutely. It's going to be an incredible show. Also, a really cool show is the 8 Modern Show with Rebecca Shore, All in One. And she's doing works on paper and panel. And there's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. And that's at 8 Modern over there on Delgado Street. That show is up, I think, through May 5th. There's a story at it by moi in the Paso Tiempo today.
Excellent.
She does some fascinating stuff. She creates silhouettes of objects, and she makes these interesting compositions of these objects, and some of them are hard to really discern. Like, you don't really know what some of them are. You could look at them for hours, which I did, and it made my head hurt. But you look at them and you're like, all right, now what is this? You know, some of them are. There's one of them is. A floor and a piece of a hem of a dress from an Angelico painting, and just all of these strange silhouetted images. And there's a sister exhibit that I believe is happening in Chicago at the same time. And so there'll be catalogs available at the show. And I'm not sure how many pieces comprise this show, but it's going to be a fairly interesting exhibit to go to. So. That and, of course, you know, tons of other openings. Red Dot Gallery, one of my favorite spaces in town, is having a fine art and book art group show. And there's a reception tonight from 4:30 to 7:30, and that's up through May 15th. That's over there on Canyon Road. Santa Fe University of Art and Design. We've got International Baccalaureate Visual Art Show, work by Desert Academy seniors. That's going to be cool. I think
nice.
There's a story about it on the cover of the Daily Santa Fe New Mexican today.
Cool. So the next generation of artists.
Absolutely. And the work is actually really, really strong, the stuff that I've seen. Did you know that this month is the 100th anniversary of the Girl Scouts of the United States?
I did.
You did.
And they were having a cookie caper.
You did.
Yes.
Did we talk about the cookie caper
no,
already?
No, I had a male Girl Scout come in.
Oh, was it Tony Bass?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, so he talked about... Can I just reiterate what's
yes.
happening? I was actually supposed to judge this year, but I don't have time. I have too much going on. Every year they have this cookie caper event where New Mexico chefs get together and they create desserts mostly with Girl Scout cookies as a main ingredient.
But like high art gourmet... foodstuffs
yes.
and drinks made out of Girl Scout cookies.
Yes. Some of the stuff that I've seen in the past when they did it at Bishop's Lodge just blew me away. Gorgeous looking like wedding cakes covered in fondant and actual like sculpted sugar pieces with Girl Scout cookies inside them. And this year there's a bunch of competing chefs, but it's happening at the Inn at Loretto. This year, so it's closer to town. It's easier to get to. Of course, there is a fee to get in, but all of the
but it supports the Girl Scouts.
It supports the Girl Scouts, and $25 is tax deductible. For reservations, you can call 923-2508. I'm really sad. I'm going to miss it this year, but it is a really fun event.
Lot to do tonight, and in case you want to just stay home and rub the belly of a brand new kitty,
yes,
this week's featured cat is Cayenne, who loves to have her belly rubbed and will roll around and purr with delight, and she needs a secure place to call her own and a person who is willing to afford her the time and love she needs to be comfortable. She would prefer a home without small children, but she would be very fine and gentle with a cat and dog. A cat or dog, and she's a little petite girl with short black and white coat. If you're interested in adopting her or any other kitty, call 316-2281, 316-2281 in the 505 area code, or go to or email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com.
Is that Cayenne as in like cayenne pepper?
No, it's K-Y-A-N-N.
Cayenne. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Now that very important piece of business is, because we read our cat of the week every week.
Yes. I'm sure there's a dog of the week. We got to start doing a dog of the week.
Well, I know.
We need to balance it out.
We do dogs whenever...
Ben's here.
Whenever Ben Swan is here.
But I think every Friday you should do a dog of the week just so, you know, the dog people don't...
All right. Dog shelters, please take notice. Yeah. Send me an email every Thursday.
Yeah.
Collected Works Bookstore. Due to illness, author Alec Dryden will not be at Collected Works Bookstore on Tuesday, April 3rd at 6 in the evening. Instead, the bookstore will feature best-selling authors Doug Preston and Hampton Sides for a conversation on the world of publishing, which should prove to be very interesting because both of those people know a lot about it. And on Thursday, April 5th at Collected Works, reporter Heatha Prabhakar will be there for reading from her book, Black Market Billions, How Organized Retail Crime Funds Global Terrorists, Believe It or Not. Prabhakar reveals how criminals with ties to global terrorist groups are committing huge product thefts using the profits to fund terrorist acts. And I'm actually going to be reading that book over the weekend and talking to her on Wednesday morning at great length, I hope.
Nino.
There we have it.
Hey, you know what's going on this weekend? I'm obsessed with Japanese pop culture.
You are?
Yes. And I believe it's tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They're having Santa Fe Japanese Intercultural Network is presenting the 8th annual Santa Fe Gin Cultural Festival at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. And so in years past, you know, they've had taiko drummers and things like that, but this year they've sort of popped it up quite a bit. So one of my favorite acts is going to be there, and they call themselves the Sesame Street Boys. S-E-S-H-A-M-E, Sesame. It's a play on words.
Right.
Anyway, it's basically a two-man group that play the covers on the shamisen of very popular tunes. They do a great version of what is it called? Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson.
Nice.
And they do Firestarter by Prodigy. They do all these really cool songs. And they're going to be there. There's special guests from Japan that are coming in this year. And I believe that there is...
That is so cool. I can't believe they're doing that this year. That's great.
They go on stage at 1:10. This event lasts all day, and there's a lot of really great stuff. If you go to the Santa Fe Gin website, it's Santa Fe, J-I-N, but you just Google it, and you'll find the website. There's a full schedule.
But J-I-N, not G-I-N.
Not G-I-N, J-I-N. And but there's also Shihori, who is a female pop singer who basically sings theme songs to Japanese anime films and television. She's going to be there. There's Origami for Kids. Smokin' Bocce Taiko is going to be there.
Nice.
There's going to be Japanese food vendors? They're going to be there. There's Japanese dance.
Do you like Japanese food?
I'm taking a friend out for sushi today, I believe.
Yay.
To get ready for it.
Cool.
Because I watched this really great movie called Jiro Dreams of Sushi a couple of days ago, and that opens in a couple of weeks, and now I'm craving sushi. But this is going to be a really fun event. Entrance fee is really inexpensive. And it's just going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun. And all of the proceeds from this go to support victims of the earthquake in Sendai.
Excellent.
Since there aren't really
necessarily... So if you were worried about whether you should go or not, or any hesitation at all, now you got to go.
Right. And on that note, if I can just add real quick, that Mari Sato and others are going to be performing songs from Mari's album Return to the River out in Cerrillos at St. Joseph's Catholic Church at 4 p.m. on Sunday, April 1st. And there's a fee for this, but all of the money is going to CASA, Kindness America Sendai Alliance, which aids people in Sendai and smaller communities nearby. So if you go to marisato.blogspot.com, you can find out more information about that performance. So
and Marisato, M-A-D-I-S-A-T-O.
Yes.
Now, on a completely different note, Fly Fishing Film Tour
awesome.
today at 5:30.
5:30 is the social hour, and 7 o'clock is showtime at the Lodge in Santa Fe. Trout Unlimited, Truchas Chapter is doing a fundraising benefit. Fishing Guide with April Vokey, guest speaker. This is tomorrow, the fundraising benefit. The film is tonight at the Lodge, and the fundraising benefit with guest speaker April Vokey is tomorrow at 6 in the evening at the Scottish Rite Temple. For more information, you can go to therreallife.com, and real is spelled R-E-E-L, therreallife.com, or call 995-8114 for more information. So for all of our anglers out there and friends of anglers.
Are you a friend of anglers?
Sure. Why not? I'm a friend to all.
I don't really fish, but my partner fishes a lot, so I'm really good at drinking beer and watching people
fish. So you're a
friend
to anglers.
Yes, absolutely.
And one more thing. I got an email from a good friend who wanted me to announce on April 5th, what day of the week is that?
That is a Thursday.
That's Thursday of next week. A day with Dr. Marsha Linehan, who's the developer of Dialectical Behavior Therapy, which is a treatment program for borderline personality disorder, and it uses techniques of Buddhism as well as other cognitive behavior techniques, and it's a fundraiser for the Linehan Institute, which is trying to make this kind of treatment available to everybody. It's from 8:30 to 4:30 at the University of New Mexico Continuing Education Center in Albuquerque. For more information, call 690-8322. And usually I don't do things like this, but this is a very trustworthy friend, so if she says it's good, it's good.
Sweet. You know what also is happening on Thursday, April 5th, which is the day before Good Friday, which means kids in at least public schools don't have to go to school the next day. Santa Fe Farmers Market and Heath Concerts are presenting a Montreal dubstep duo called Adventure Club. This is one of my favorite groups. They're not super popular or anything, but they're really well known for remixes of songs by other people, including Britney Spears. They do a great a tribute to the movie Boondock Saints called Spiritus Sancti. And so this is an all-ages event at the Santa Fe Farmers Market. No alcohol. You will be able to re-enter if you leave, which means you can drag your kids along. Mom or dad can stay with the kids, and you can sneak out and have a beer and then go back in.
All right.
You know what I mean? But this is a great model for what should be happening in this town in the all-ages community. Warehouse 21 does a great job. Do not get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there's got to be more, and this is the more.
That's super.
So, did you know that Philip Glass is coming?
What?
But here's the thing. He's got at 7 p.m. Wednesday, April 4th, in the Klug Auditorium of the Arm & Hammer United World College of the American West in Montezuma, New Mexico.
Yeah, I was up there a few weeks ago.
I'm really happy for the people in Montezuma. But
you can go to Montezuma.
Philip Glass, would you please come to Santa Fe? That would be awesome.
I know. Montezuma is smaller than Santa Fe.
Anyway, for information about this concert in Montezuma, you can call, am I bitter much? You can call 505-454-4265. That's 505-454-4265.
That's where that castle is. It's gorgeous.
Is that where the castle is?
Yeah.
Montezuma's castle?
The castle built by...
The Crazy Face. What's his name?
No, Fred Harvey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy Face.
And United World College is there, and it's a beautiful place. And I just went there because my friend played a concert in the Light Sanctuary up there, which is a very small building where prisms are built into the ceiling and the walls. And so no matter where the sun is, if the sun is shining, it's full of rainbows.
This concert is free, by the way. Did I mention that this is free?
Is it open to the public?
It's open to Philip Glass for free in Mana Freakin' Zuma. I'm just going to leave it at that.
I think you should. Basile Valles' first solo show, Witness to Dreams, debuts in Santa Fe for three nights, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday at the Lodge. It's a performance art piece in which Basile introduces us to the residents of Copper Creek, a town seemingly suspended in time. And let's see, it's at the Lodge at 7:30, and you can get tickets through the Lenzic box office, 988-1234. And check it out.
Todd Rundgren is still alive, and he's putting out some great music, and he's performing in Santa Fe, At 7:30 p.m. Tomorrow, Saturday, March 31st, at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center.
Do you think he would like it if he heard you saying that he was still alive?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't mean it that way. I meant he's kicking. He's still good.
Okay.
Is what I meant. No offense, Todd. Really.
I'm not sure Todd is listening to the Radio Cafe today. Although you never know.
You never know. But if you call the box office at 988-1234 or visit ticketssantafe.org, you can find out information about tickets. And there's a price range for tickets. Also, the Scatolites, like pioneers in the ska and in the ska movement, way back when, 50 years of touring and recording. These guys, all right, I think there's two original members left. And there's been some unfortunate deaths of original members in the last couple of years. Anyway, at 7:30 p.m. Monday, April 2nd, the band is performing at Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill. And joining them is Albuquerque Rocksteady ska reggae outfit, the Blue Hornets. And this is also an all-ages show. And tickets are quite reasonable, I must say.
Excellent.
And you can find tickets by going to soulofsantafe.com.
Three Faces of Jazz at El Maison are playing tonight. Dave Anderson, Jan McDonald, special guests. The music is from 7:30 until 10:30. No cover charge, but reservations are recommended. And they said they might even play some tunes from their recent tribute concert to Paul Desmond and Chet Baker. So that was a nice note from Dave Anderson. Check it out.
Later. Hey, what's going on in the movies?
Oh.
We've got
tonight,
Chico and Rita.
Chico and Rita. I am actually DJing the little reception beforehand.
Mary.
My evil twin is named DJ Carlota.
Oh, no.
And we DJ Cuban View. You know that.
Does Carlota have an outfit?
Yes.
Stiletto heels?
No.
That was like the so Robert Knott of me right there. That was weird.
I know that you just channeled Robert Knott. Yes, but anyway, from 7 to 7:30, there's music and refreshments and a reception, and it's a Holguín, Santa Fe, Cuban and American Sister City Night. The Holguín Sister City Association is having a little benefit and a little chance to talk about Cuban culture and hang out. And then the movie starts at 7:30. Chico and Rita. I just interviewed the director. Was it yesterday or the day before? It was yesterday, I think. And he's wonderful. The film is wonderful. I've seen the whole thing twice on DVD. And I'm looking forward to seeing it on the big screen. And I cried both times. And it's beautiful.
It's animated, but let's just say it's not a kid's film.
No. Well, I mean, I think kids could watch it.
Isn't there a little...
A little nudity?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Okay.
Kids were born in the nude.
That's true.
There's nothing obscene, pornographic, violent, or ugly in the film. It's a beautiful, beautiful film. And it's full of this wonderful Cuban music of the 40s and 50s when big band American music met Cuban music and all this Cubop stuff happened. It was amazing time. And... It's a nice film because, among other reasons, it combines fictional characters with real characters. So Chano Pozo is in it, and Tito Puente, and people like that, and Charlie Parker, and people like that.
Anyone from the Buena Vista Social Club?
No, it's not like that.
No, but you know. Did you know that there is a Cuban restaurant outside of Santa Fe now?
Oh, tell us about that.
I believe it's in the old space where Dim Sum and Then Sum was located.
Oh, yeah.
Out there by the Cafe San Marcos. It's that building across the way.
Is it good?
I don't know. It's called Babaloo's, all right? It's you would think, all right, this is just some, you know, person came to town and said, I'm going to put some plantains on a menu. These guys are Cubans and gals. And they know what they're doing.
Excellent.
And I've heard really good things about it, but I have not been out yet.
I'm going for brunch. Immediately.
We should go together.
Let's
I can make
together.
The newspaper pay for it.
And
then also I want to mention that Chico and Rita was given a 3.5 chili rating in the positive.
It should have been given 10 chilies.
We don't have 10. We only have 4.
We should have made 10.
It got 3.5.
Good.
Which is good. The Deep Blue Sea is also opening. And this is opening at the screen.
Is that the movie that was there during the festival? Who's in it?
I am not sure. Let us see.
Meanwhile, while you are seeing, I will let people know that at the Legal Tender, tonight, Fast Pass. Patsy plays a wide variety of music from country rock to bluegrass and rockabilly. And the music is from 6 to 9, and that's free. There's lunch and dinner. And then tomorrow, Paul Cole and the Clinkers from Madrid, New Mexico. Paul Clinker on the banjo and Uncle Pete Clinker on upright bass. And once again, music from 6 to 9, open for lunch and dinner. You can go to thelegaltender.com.
I'm glad that place is back.
I am too. It's all good.
Right when they open again, I'm moving back to Santa Fe. It's such a bummer.
Oh, no, that's right. So, The Deep Blue Sea?
The Deep Blue Sea. I'm just going to read here because I'm not really familiar with this film at all. I don't know if it played at the festival or not. It's director Terrence Davies tackling Terrence Rattigan's tale of unrequited love in post-World War II Britain.
Okay.
And
I saw that movie. I wanted to shoot that movie at dawn.
Really?
I hated that movie with every fiber of my being. But some people loved it.
Let's just say that Pasatiempo considers it average.
I
read the review.
Thought it was so slow.
Yes.
That, you know, I wished that I had been taking brain-altering chemicals.
Cuban food is brain-altering chemicals. You could go and have some Cuban food.
In a good
way. And it would make this film much more interesting.
Lifeguard training classes to be offered at the Genoveva Chavez Center. A pretest is required. The classes begin on Monday, April 9th. For more information, 955-4041. Just thought I'd read that.
Did you know that Pasatiempo is on Facebook and on Twitter now?
Oh.
I know Mary Charlotte's on Twitter.
Yeah, but I never tweet. I've got to start tweeting.
You got at least four a day.
For a day. I can barely do four a week.
You got to do four a day. The first one's easy. You wake up, you figure out whose birthday it is. Oh, by the way, happy birthday, Van Gogh. Happy birthday, Eric Clapton. And happy birthday, MC Hammer. Anyway. I'm serious. It's Van Gogh's 158th birthday.
Who was born on your birthday?
Nobody famous.
Come on.
I don't think.
There's always somebody famous born on your birthday. I was born on the same birthday as Dolly Parton, Edgar Allan Poe, and Robert E. Lee.
Oh, my gosh.
Which proves that astrology doesn't work.
The next time I'm here, I will bring a list of people that were born on my birthday.
Excellent.
That are more famous than I.
All right.
But anyway, if you go to PasaTweet, at PasaTweet, that's our handle on the Twitter, and then you can search us out on Facebook.
Tina Davila, wonderful potter, is having an open house studio and sale tomorrow and Sunday from 10 to 5 and 11 to 4. For more information, what is the number? Doesn't say. It's 933 Nicole Place in Santa Fe.
933 Nicole's.
Nicole. It's a little street.
Hey, we have a new thing at Pasatiempo. We have all of these different categories of stuff that people submit: galleries, museums, books, talks, theater, and dance. We have a new section called Outdoors because we want people to get some vitamin D and enjoy the great fresh air that we have here.
Excellent.
While it lasts. So if you have any events that are outdoors events, and I don't mean an outdoor art market. We've got those covered. Thank you. But I mean like a nature walk.
Here's one. You want one?
Yes, I do.
Tomorrow from 10 to noon, fruit tree pruning workshop with Tracy Neal.
That's what I'm talking about.
At the Rail Yard Park Community Room, go to railyardpark.org or call 316-3596. That is what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. There's one actually tomorrow also from 1 to 3:30 p.m. called Willow Wishes. It's a hands-on workshop about river restoration through art and poetry, culminating in the planting of willow wish poles along the Santa Fe River.
Nice.
Okay. And this is, if you go to the community room at the Rail Yard Park behind Site Santa Fe, this is sounding a little familiar, from 1 to 3:30 tomorrow.
Rail Yard Park is on it.
Yeah. 988-9244 for more information about this river restoration willow wish.
Very important stuff to do.
Tongue-twisting outdoor event.
Santa Fe Pro Musica presents Rachel Podger, Baroque violinist, Tuesday and Wednesday, April 3rd and 4th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, doing the Bach's complete sonatas and partitas for solo violin on a Baroque violin at the Loreto Chapel, 7:30 for all programs. For more information, santafepromusica.com or 988-4640. That should be fabulous. Rob DeWalt of Speak of the Arts, is so wonderful to have you back.
It is so wonderful to be here. Now, I don't know if I can be here every week at the moment.
Well, we'll Diane Karp sends her love and been having great fun doing this. So between the two of you, we should be okay. And ladies and gentlemen, I cannot, unfortunately, read all the things that come in unless we did Speaking of the Arts for a whole hour, which I'm just not going to subject you to doing. There's just more than we can do. Let me give you a tip. The closer you to Thursday you send the announcement, the more likely it will be to be read on Friday. If you send it 2 weeks in advance, chances are very low.
It's probably
because it goes
way
up high in the inbox.
Yes.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Oh, gotta go. Bye.